570 News presents The Jeff Allen Show on 570 News. Also broadcasting live on Rogers TV, Cable 20.
Andrea Morozik is the manager of research for the Institute of Marriage and Family, and she joins us now. Andrea, thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Do you think the example that some of these celebrities are showing or presenting to us are affecting folks in regular life?
You know, it's probably a pretty complicated situation. I would go with no, for the reason that I think actually more the movies they're making affect us in our regular life. What I'm getting at is that the culture we live in isn't very hospitable or friendly to lifelong monogamous two-person marriage. In Canada, we gave up on the man-woman component already. So there's a long-term cultural trend, I think, toward giving up on certain elements of marriage that we don't find either convenient or fitting today, and Hollywood is a part of that. They certainly do seem to have a high divorce rate there and a high rate of people giving up on their marriages, but whether that affects the man on the street, man and women on the street, and how they approach their personal marriage, I'm not sure that, you know, for example, people would look at Courtney Cox and say, I'm going to do what she did. I think there's a bigger cultural problem at play.
What are the numbers right now? Some people argue it's 50%. Some say the failure rate's 40%, 30%. What does your research tell you?
I think it's the myth out there is that 50% of marriages will split. So that fortunately is a myth. It's not half of all marriages that are going to end in divorce. I think it is more the 30 or 40% mark is more accurate. A recent study coming out suggesting that 40% of marriages will end in divorce. Obviously, this is something that changes over time with the evolving marriage stats, but it's less than 50% anyway, so there are positive things to say about marriage, even when we aren't really valuing it as perhaps we should. So we have still a strong commitment to marriage. Young people overwhelmingly say in surveys and polls that they aspire to marriage and they want to get married, so that's another thing to keep in mind, and most people do get married. It's up above 80% of people that will be married at some point in their lives. Whether or not it's a successful one is a different story.
Now, on the other hand, does it figure into the figuring, if you will, for folks that are living common law and long term, because they're not officially married, does that change anything? I mean, does that make them extremely different than folks that are officially married?
Actually, it's interesting, and as a young person today, you know, this comes as a surprise to me, as I'm sure it'll come to as a surprise to many of your listeners, but common law is very different from marriage, and it doesn't offer the same benefits for kids in particular. Marriage is meant to be a child-friendly institution. Otherwise, really, the state wouldn't have much role or purpose in regulating what we do in our intimate relationships. So marriage is ultimately about children, whether or not we have children in our marriages, and common law doesn't seem in the statistics and in the research to offer the same benefits as marriage does. It's interesting when common law becomes so entrenched that it starts to look a lot like marriage, and that's a bit of a more complicated story. So that does happen, but marriage scholars seem to think that's more because it's imitating what marriage is rather than because common law is so great. Common law is ultimately, it is a shorter term thing. It's people getting together. It was some of these relationships happen and stay together more or less by accident without making that purposeful commitment. So these are some of the reasons why common law is less stable, and it isn't the same as marriage. You know, the piece of paper is actually important when it comes right down to it.
Okay. And now what do you make of these new organizations that are out there that specialize in making divorces simple, inexpensive, and quick?
Yeah, I think that's a really negative trend. We did see a spike. Incidentally, divorce rates did skyrocket when Canada introduced no-fault divorce in the late 60s. So public policy can affect our marriages and our divorces and our family life. That's an important thing to remember. And when it comes to making divorce easier, I think that really we ought to be making marriages easier to stay in. And the reality is that marriage is very, very hard, and I don't know any couple who doesn't hit a really, really rough patch in their marriage. Usually it's lawyers, actually, in the province of Ontario. It's a group of lawyers getting together and saying, we're going to make divorce easier. Lawyers stand to profit from divorce, family lawyers particularly. They shouldn't be in the position of somehow indicating that they're doing a good deed for everybody out there. I don't think that that's the way to go. I think that there should be a move toward ensuring that people get the support, the counseling, the community around them when they hit that inevitable rough time in their marriage.
All right. Well, Andrea, I thank you so much for your time today, and good luck to you. We'll speak to you again soon, I think.
Thanks for having
me
on.
All right. Andrea Morozik is the Manager of Research for the Institute of Marriage and Family.